You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Making waves.
All right, well, welcome back to Making Waves, episode 77. 77, wow, fantastic. Anyway, my name is Justin. I'm here along with my co-host, Chad Nyquil. Say hey, Chad.
Well, hey, Chad. How you doing?
Listen, guys, welcome back. We are, of course, the Shiprock Podcast. We're part of the Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcast family. And we're also one of the fastest growing rock and roll podcasts in the world, thanks to you. And if you could, make sure and always check us out, but tell your friends about us and go ahead and make sure to review, rate, subscribe, and share. Without further ado, well, we're missing one of them right now, but we're going to welcome the gentleman. Oh, there he is. Perfect timing.
Wow.
From the band Otherwise, please welcome everyone, Adrian and Ryan. Welcome, guys.
Yo.
Thank you.
Ahoy, mateys. Ahoy.
That's the spirit right there. Listen, guys, thank you for coming on this. It's been a long time, and I'm glad we finally got you on. So I guess the stars kind of aligned for us here. A lot to talk about, a lot to unpack. First thing, how you doing? How's your year? How is life after Shiprock 2022 for you guys?
It's all downhill from here, Justin.
Absolutely. You're going to ramp back up.
Yeah. I've been trying to jump off other boat, like to my death, but they're just not nice enough, you know? So the boats that I have around here. So I need to get back on a cruise ship and then,
done. Jump from there.
Out in Vegas, do they have like bodies of water? I mean, this is a serious question. Are there like large bodies of water to where a vessel is like a commodity out there?
I mean, there's fun little speedboats at Lake Mead. You know.
Okay. There is
a
lake.
Okay,
yeah.
That would be weird.
I mean, commodity is, you know, it's more of a, it's more of like a pastime, you know, the boating life in Vegas, man. Have you been out there, Chad? You never been out there?
Oh, yeah. I've been out to Vegas. I can't remember seeing literally one drop of water, not even some of the green rooms when we would play out there and whatnot. It would always be like,
welcome to your life, dude.
I know. I was just going to say the Vegas scene is something that I never really got to fully understand and appreciate. It was always like a touch base, keep going, touch base, keep going type sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Now, when you say Vegas scene, Chad, do you mean like the music scene or do you mean like the Vegas scene?
No, I'm referring to music in general, but just the geographical location. I never got to spend much time there. It was always like the Hard Rock Live or whatever. And then you would load in and then you load out to get to Phoenix or whatever it is, because it's always a long drive on the other side of that show. So I never got to really like stay with a friend and be like, there's a fucking lake out here, let's do something like fucking some nature shit out in Vegas. But that's just my
there's a lot of nature stuff. My brother Ryan he's very much in tune to that, and what do you for our nature ship rockers out there who might be listening in, what do you recommend, Ryan?
I would go to Spearmint Rhino or Little Darlings.
I do know those places.
You know, the steak is tremendous.
the chicken nuggets are phenomenal.
Dude, the wings, bro. It's the fingers. It's all about the fingers, dude. You got to go to the...
Right, yeah.
Fingers and ham hocks.
Yeah.
No, Vegas, great. I'm actually looking at that, becoming a residence myself of that place at some point here.
Oh, wow. Justin, where are you at now, brother?
New Orleans.
Oh, cool.
Dude, that's our sister city. Okay, so New Orleans and Las Vegas.
And New Orleans are sister cities.
Okay, not officially, but for people who, like my brother and I, who are...
Not really, but yeah.
Okay, not according to like NATO or
Wikipedia.
Or Wikipedia. For us native Las Vegans, when we speak with native New Orleans,
Cajuns. Let's just keep it Cajun.
Yeah, okay, Cajun.
There you go. Yeah.
So when we, when guys like my brother and I have grown up and lived in Vegas our whole lives, and we meet people who've done the same in New Orleans, they are like, we're always like, dude, we should be. It's like the same city, just on other ends of the country. You know.
Well, so. Adrian, I can tell you this: is that being the Vegas and understanding the culture and the nightlife. Yeah, it's like when you come to, like, if you're visiting here, you go to the Quarter, you go to, you know, maybe Mid City, you go to the Frenchman. It's kind of that same scene. It's like when you live here, you really don't frequent those places anymore. You did initially just to kind of get a lay of the land and understand it. And if you have friends come in town, you want to be a good host. But I mean, I assume you guys do not like visit the Strip on a very often.
True. It's the exact same kind of scenario. Yeah.
It's like, hey man, you know what? It's there for other people, not me. I'd rather just kind of go off and do local stuff. And that's not being elitist. It's just like, hey, that's not for me anymore. Even though, believe it or not, I live in Bourbon Street. So
that's dope. Live on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, dude. Girlfriend and I live here on Bourbon Street.
Where on Bourbon Street? What
what's dude, we live like, I can't believe we're going this far, but we live kind of closer to Esplanade towards Frenchman. We live at the quiet end of Bourbon. You know, we're kind of the walkthrough. People are stumbling from the tourist area down to Frenchman, kind of like past
Lafitte's, is that that's where you live?
Yeah, that's Lafitte area, like two blocks up heading east.
Wow, man,
it's kind of quiet, man. It's funny, it's like everyone doesn't realize that every thing along the way is, other than clubs, is people's living areas, living rooms, because they're all behind shutters, right?
Literally,
you know,
literally,
but this stuff, all this stuff was built in like 1850, so no one knows. They were very good at disguising what that building is. Oh, there's 10 people living in there. Holy shit.
We love New Orleans, man. There's so much dark magic and voodoo mystics there.
There's plenty of that, man, for sure. Yeah. But okay, this has been a great, so basically we've now given a nice breakdown of what would that be? What's the
fodder? Yeah.
But fodder's travel excitement pieces. So guys, Ryan, real quick, Shiprock, did I see you at yoga this time?
I was not at yoga this time around, but I would like to say that we started yoga with me and my girlfriend a couple of years ago.
Absolutely did.
That was awesome. We were there for that.
It's funny because yoga this time was this guy, Bo, and his wife that did this rage yoga.
Yeah.
Where it's like they incorporate, like, you know, fuck yous to the fucking, like, whatever, just to kind of bring in that kind of my primal thing. I know it's crazy.
They went rage yoga. They went yoga against the machine, bro.
Dude, that's even better than rage yoga. They should have called it that. We all went to exhale and say, fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
Down dog.
Anyway, I didn't know that.
All right, so guys, the band, otherwise you guys have been together now close to two decades, putting out music for everyone. You guys are like, you know, your thing is melodic hard rock, right? Really hitting that emotional core in people, you know, not trying to flatten them. You're trying to kind of invite, you know, lovers and hard rockers and chicks, and everyone's involved in your music. Everyone loves that thing. It's classic, you know, it's what Boston used to do in the 70s, right? Bring everyone in with these big hooks, songs that people could grasp onto, lyrics that meant something to them. How do you keep that arc from 2006, 2007 to now? How do you keep that kind of like staying within that parameter? How do you keep staying inspired to keep writing songs? Is it just a continual evolution of your life, and this just kind of, how do you do it?
Well, I mean, Justin, you literally like nailed it on the head. It's just like our music is it's a direct a manifestation of what we're living, you know. So as we progress through life, as you know, we grow and evolve as human beings, we try to infuse that into our music, right? But we, you know, we also, the thing about what we try to do with our stuff, with our art, is you know, like you were saying, like we try to bring everybody in, like everybody. There's something like life as mortals is not just anger. It's not just sadness. It's not just, you know, euphoria. It's all of those things blended together. And that's what we've always tried to encapsulate, I guess. And as we progress in our lives and in our careers, you know, we just keep like kind of emulating what is happening. There's like some of the guys that, you know, that we know, that we all know being in the industry that we're in, a lot of guys and artists are very good at like, like putting forth a story, you know, where we've always taken the literal approach. Like we're literally writing about what is going on in our lives and in our heads.
Yeah. It's always funny. Cause I'm always as a fan of power pop growing up and stuff like that. And you're thinking, man, where is that Cheap Trick out there? Where's that band that's for 40 years written in a certain genre, but still been pivotal and still been relevant? You know, we always think about like, I always mourn kind of the death of like just radio rock, like Foreigner and Journey and stuff like that. You know, those bands, like, again, talking about day-to-day life stuff, man. Where's those love songs? I want a power ballad, man. Yeah. Give me that shit, man. That's the real stuff.
Dude, that's I used to say in interviews back in the day when, like, you know, when we, our first couple albums, it was like, I was like, dude, we want to be like, if Journey was like a metal band. You know, like we want to infuse, like we want to take Killswitch Engage and Journey and put them together.
You know, yeah.
It's actually a great, I think that you've achieved it. I was listening to, before we got on the call, I was listening to your catalog more and more, going a little deeper and then recently. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there. I specifically had a question while we're talking about what you're doing and how you're doing it. You two are the primary songwriters, correct? And when what I noticed, and I was like, wait, holy shit, they've had a lot of past members. Cause I was going on the Wikipedia page just to make sure that I was deep diving on you. And I'm like, oh, so this is a situation, if I'm correct, if I'm incorrect, tell me I'm wrong. Is this a situation where like you guys are writing music, you're the band, and then when it's time to go on the road, you put players in place of those other spaces as needed? Or is it a situation where there's two other permanent band members or three other permanent band members still in the band?
Yeah.
How's the history kind of line up?
That's a cool question that we actually kind of touched on here a couple weeks ago, because we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of our debut record, True Love Never Dies. And that was kind of the songs on that record got us signed and got us to the next level from just being the biggest local Vegas band and getting us on the national scene. And so we're kind of posting some throwbacks about, you know, some of the memories that were popping up on Facebook. And, you know, we were getting some comments, you know, somewhat on the lines of, oh, you know, I miss that member and I miss this guy. And, you know, it really took us into this like moment of, you know, like a retrospection. And we're like, okay, like what is that? Because yeah, it always has been, it's always been me and my brother. It's been the two of us. And, you know, we are the heart and soul of the otherwise. And we've always wanted a band. We've always wanted to be in a band. You know, we weren't two songwriters that were like trying to start, like just go take something out on the road. So
we were trying to be Daft Punk, bro.
Yeah. It was a fine line of, you know, and it's always been it's been an interesting aspect in our career with guys getting in the band. It's like, hey, look, you know, you guys are a part of the band, but also, you know, we have to somehow, it's always been more successful for us internally when the guys are aware of whose band it is, you know what I mean? And who's put in the 20 years of time. And, you know, my brother brought me into this band, you know, the saying was, you know, as soon as you hit puberty, you can start playing in a band, you know, and then there's a little less than a decade between the two of us. And so we've been doing it. I've been doing this since, you know, I was a teenager with this band, and my brother's been even doing it even longer. And so we've had guys who have come in and helped us and elevated, and we've wrote with them, and, you know, there was some great help. But yeah, to you know, to touch on that. So we were like, man, our band's like a sports team. You know what I mean? Like we're like, my brother, we're both aspiring athletes, and we train martial arts, boxing, and, you know, all kinds of physical activities. We're down for, you know, jock stars at the finest.
And, jock stars, baby.
You know, so it's like we're a sports team and we've had a lot of players come and go. They've made some big plays. We've had some seasons, some seriously winning seasons. You know, we've had some losing seasons, and we've had players traded. We've had players retire, you know, and we've gone and got other players, you know. It's like, otherwise it's like a sports team, if that makes any sense, you know.
It's about the long play. It's, you know, you can be champions 1 year, but you can't holding that trophy is going to get really heavy after a while as the years go down. As a Detroiter here, you know, I've had a lot of
losing seasons.
Looking into a lot of losers, but a lot of, you know, when you got the Red Wings and the old school, you know, the Pistons and stuff like that, yeah. That was like always like one of the things where like, are you going to do a three-peat or whatever, you know? Like, no, I feel like I always aching it. I don't know if you're Metallica's fans, but I think about the idea of what ebb and flows are in a trajectory of a career in any space, specifically in an artistic space with music. And I think about like Saint Anger. People hate that fucking record, right? Mm-hmm. But what's uniquely great about that record is without that record, the following record would never have been as widely received because of the lull that may or may not be. Now, I don't know if that's the case for Metallica fans, and I'm certainly not speaking for everybody here, but I totally agree with you. The sports team mental ethic of what you're doing is about how does this play out in the long run is more important than the instantaneous gratification of whatever the moment is.
You know? Yeah, and Chad, it sounds like, I mean, I you know, kind of taken from what you said earlier, you're a musician as well.
I'm Wilson, saying, baby.
Right. So, and once you become part of something that's bigger than yourself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of the reasons that we may have started getting into music or gotten bitten by the rock and roll bug may have been self-serving in the beginning, but as you, again, as well, like what we were talking about in the prior conversation about evolving and you know, expanding your point of view, you start to realize that, okay, well, yeah, man, yeah, I was weaned on Cribs, dude, and every guy in a fucking hard rock and roll alternative the band has a mansion and a car on some fucking Daytons and he can do whatever he wants, you know, like, and that was the initial, like, okay, you know, when we're kids and we're like, yeah, okay, we want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. But then when you find your vein and you find the flow of that flow of consciousness, and then you realize that other human beings, other sentient organisms are connecting with what you're experiencing and presenting, then it goes beyond like just the physical. It goes beyond being a millionaire rock star, you know, fucking playboy or whatever. It's you're a part of something that's bigger than what you were told you're supposed to be. You know what I mean? You don't, does that make sense?
Totally. You're supposed to be seeing the forest for the trees and not pretending you're the only ones standing there growing, you know,
right.
Being a part of her.
Well, Chad, one thing I wanted to say, regardless, before we go into this conversation further, is that actually Lulu was the most hated Metallica album. Saint Anger was.
What song is off of Lulu?
Justin, Lulu, dude. Remember Lulu was the album they concocted with Lou Reed?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it was just a gobbledygook. It's all Lou Reed singing with Metallica playing the music.
No way.
Oh, you got to go back to check.
The Venn diagram of it doesn't fall into just the Metallica thing. You know, like,
there's like, a lot of Lou going on. So,
well, yeah, better, it's not like a Metallica record, you know.
But not the Velvet Underground Lou. It's kind of more the 70s Berlin Lou.
Yeah,
the genre for that weird album says avant-garde metal and spoken word.
Oh, so Meshuggah. Okay, very good.
Yeah,
very good. But it's funny you guys talk about, like, I think the secret to the success and you guys keeping a band together this long at this point. I mean, we always talk about the Stones or whoever. That's like ungodly, keeping a band together for 50, 60 years. Give me a break. Right. But it's just But when you guys nowadays, you keep a band together 10, 15, 20 years, it really only, it's really because there has to be one or two guys, usually two, obviously two, maybe three if you're lucky, that they're foundational. We are the base. We are the thing that keeps it together. We are the epicenter, and other players can kind of come in, learn to play with the band, be a part of something, go tour, do some good music, do some good stuff together, have some great moments. Yeah. And then it's time for them to move on. And it's not that you're always looking for journeymen. God knows you'd love to get some couple of members that just stick. We're going to ride this baby out for the next decade, right, guys?
Yeah.
But I think nowadays, I think people and fans' perspectives, as long as the you know, the foundation is there, they'll deal with the ever-changing kind of like, you know, roulette table of new players coming in, stuff like that. And then that's the great thing, though, because it does give your sound a little bit of chance to be a little different, a little expansive. Because people are bringing new flavors in. So I think it's a smart play to always have that. So why shouldn't otherwise just be, you know, Ryan and Adrian and other musicians that come in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, it's just a collective, you know? That's the otherwise collective, you guys.
That really is. And
we've been very fortunate in that sense, Justin, because the guys who come in at every level have literally pushed my brother and I to become better ourselves, you know? And honestly, if I think back right now, if I go back through the roster, like from before we were signed to when we've been signed and to this day, there is maybe, I mean, literally, actually, we're still cool with every dude that ever came through the ranks. Like, we're literally cool with those guys. Like, I mean, I just had a long conversation with our former drummer, Corky, who was the drummer on True Love Never Dies and Peace at All Costs, our first two albums as a signed band, our first foray into the national arena. And I just talked to him for like an hour, like day before yesterday. And it was like totally, you know, copacetic. It was cool as fuck, you know, like, and
yeah.
You know, we've been so blessed by the fact that we haven't run into that, like, disgusting breakup or some bad thing where every, you know, you're suing him and there's like this like maliciousness. It's always been like, at first, let me retract my prior statement. At first, the departures weren't always amicable, but in enough time, it became like, we're cool. We're like, everyone's cool. We understand where we were at as people, where we are now as people, as human beings, as evolved organisms, you know, like it's we're blessed, man. We are blessed.
Well, it's like a household, you know. It's like, hey, the kids are going to eventually grow and they're going to move on, just because that's their time of life. But you know what, mom and dad, or in this case, dad and dad, being progressive, are always there, right? We're here. We're the family's gonna be. If you want to come back for Christmas one time, by all means, the door's open for you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you better have a fucking song.
So I was gonna say, speaking of which, with all that being said, now we're coming into a situation where you guys released a single in 2021. I don't know if this is that's gonna be part of a record, or if it was just like the space in between what the next record will be like. And I'm assuming you're in the writing process, or maybe even done. What are we looking at for the future of how
we done?
Oh, you're done. Okay.
Oh, we done.
We're actually waiting on one song right now, which will have a feature from an artist that was on the boat this year, and she is very, or he, being progressive, I don't know how you whatever
we don't know what they. their pronouns are.
We're gonna go with the artist.
All right, we're waiting for those for those tracks to come in, but we do have masters for a whole new record, man.
And a release date, or can't
Not yet. The release date. There's still some back end stuff we're working on with our record label. But it's
obviously, Chad, you've been signed to a record deal, because there's no. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then there's no release date. And
you will know when you know, and then you will go when we tell you. You're just shit. My life was different last week, and now I got to do all this stuff.
Shit, we should release our new record on the boat next year. That would be dope.
Oh, that's killer.
Hey, you know, but you know, we just had. It's funny you mentioned that. We had Scary Kids on last week, and I just blew something that was gonna fucking use later. I'm sorry, okay. Chad.
It's all good.
Fuck, it doesn't matter. It applies. So we did their listening party that only management and label had heard. They basically let us play it, and we talked about the guys after every track. We talked about the track, and it was a good open forum in one of the lounges there. I thought it was a really cool deal. So when you guys are looking at something, I think that'd be tremendous, which would obviously mean getting you guys back on the ship.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah, that could be something really.
Yeah. Ryan, real quick, buddy. What year is that beautiful Gibson you got back there, the Explorer? What is that?
You know, that's just 2014.
Oh, fuck's sake, man.
Yeah, they sent me that. I know, but you know what? Up. I keep it away because I hang my guitars, and I realize, like, actually it's not like until I have like a guitar armoire with humidifiers and I'm like, dude, that's not a good spot to keep it. So I have my 1970s Explorer in my case right now.
Okay.
So this is my workhorse that I practice on every day. But yeah, it's a 2014. I'm sorry.
I still have a boner. He didn't take that away. Yeah, I see it, but
you guys can't see it, but I got the live
screen right there. It's right there. But so
when you're right, I wanted to add my follow-up, if you don't mind, Justin, was to ask, okay, so now you're in the situation where you've written the record, you have the masters. What does that look like with the two of you writing a record? Does that have other players? You have studio musicians, you guys handle everything, or what's the takeaway we can kind of like gauge from your processes?
Yeah, no, again, kind of tapping on the, talking about like the prior members and how we do involve them, you know, it's like, dude, you guys want to make plays, you guys want to call, you guys want to score touchdowns, then dude, by all means, we're like open. That was one of our dreams, was to have a band more so than necessarily just being brother wise. You know what I mean? It has turned out to
also
be
a dope name, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Otherwise the BR is silent.
Yeah, if we need to, you know, get out of certain agreements, we might have to go with that route.
Oh, great. Just release the record as Brotherwise, and if they don't give you a release date, I'm like, fine, it's all good. Contract null.
No, that's just actually a really great. I think that'd be a really great a name for an acoustic album.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Super,
yeah. There we go. All right. Thank you. I'll take you. Right. Can I get my 5% now? Can I get that up front?
That's so funny. Chad, you're asking about that.
5%.
2%. Shit. God damn. Is that what's going now? I got to read the Passman book, see what I'm really do.
Passman book. Did you say you're talking Donald Passman? Is that what you're talking
Absolutely.
About? Oh, man. That book. I got an old copy of that lying around somewhere with my parents.
They're in the 11th edition. You may want to get up to speed because now they brought the metaverse in. So, yeah. Anywho.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. Would they talk about NFTs too? I hope.
Well, I don't know yet. What are those again? I can't figure that out.
Nice fucking
tokens. Nice fucking
freaking technology.
Nice fucking technology. Nice fucking tata. Anyway.
And you,
hey, listen.
Next fucking thing. That's what the shit stands for.
That's
next
right. Yeah. Yeah. Thing. On to the next fucking thing. Speaking of, hey, listen, we're going to ask a quick question from the Ship Rockers. And this is someone who delivers every week. I try to skip her because she's like, I think she's part of Mensa. Karen Gaffney, she's a Vegas person.
Oh, hello, Vegas.
Yeah. Well, then Karen and Kurt, they come on the cruise all the time and they're big Vegas folks. Anyway, Karen's question is this, and you guys can ask it. You can do it together or separately, however you want to do it. What was the dumbest idea you've ever had that you thought was smart at the time?
Starting a rock and roll band.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, you agree?
I'm done.
I would say signing a record deal.
You know, second. Yes.
Now, all the love to, you know, all the guys who like jumped in and wanted to help us and wanted to, you know, do what they thought they were supposed to do. And dude, you know, hell yeah, we did it. But we thought, we as first generation Americans, we were like, you sign the record deal and then everything changes. You know what I mean? And we didn't really have the wherewithal or the knowledge in the industry to understand that that was just the very beginning of the mountain to climb, you know? So it's kind of like, I think right out the gate, I would say, you know, signing a record deal when we did.
Yeah, but you were, that was at the time though, when that was still a very sexy thing. It's just kind of, you're supposed to do, it's like getting out of high school. What am I supposed to do? Go to college. What do you do from there? Get a job, get married, whatever. Just kind of following the path. Obviously, if this would have happened now, you'd be like, no, we can do this on our own.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, we'll have a niche audience that's going to support us through our career. Mm-hmm. Another question.
Yeah, there's tools.
Oh, after Chad.
I don't want to like keep harping on it, but there's tools that exist now that didn't, that allows artists like otherwise Wilson, anybody, to put music out and then lean on the parts of the puzzle that you don't have internally to help sort out even marketing plans, things like that. You don't need this amount of money you don't need the bank. Yeah. If you have spent this much time of your career learning how to record your guitar, even you're already halfway to the, you're already halfway to the bank.
Yeah,
honestly,
really.
And that's a great point, Chad, you make about the bank. And you know, at the time, like we were just focusing on our craft, which was, you know, me like working on my vocals, working on my lyrics, my brother working on his guitar playing, you know, like that's what we thought. Okay. That's what we focus on this and we put in our 10,000 hours and, you know, it will reap the windfall. Right. There's so much more to it now. Like if you can self-produce your own music, your own product, if you can digitally record yourself, if you can digitally design your own graphics, you know, you don't necessarily need that bank, because that is, for any of the aspiring artists that may or may not be listening to this podcast, that's what a record label is. It's basically a bank. They give you a loan and you have to pay that fucking loan bank, that loan back on their interest rates. So, and they're not favorable. So,
and they're loan officers.
Yeah, you know, it used to be. Yeah, it used to be a
this
float.
Is what you just need to do to make our fucking money back.
Like, oh, yeah, it used to be a float. Just bring us the receipts.
Yeah,
just Adrian, hey,
we'll write it up.
Yeah, Adrian, kudos to you for bringing up the Gladwell 10,000 hours. I like that very well. Yeah. Hey, another question from a ship rocker. Jen Lowe wants to know. It's question 101. Who inspired you guys musically when you were younger?
I could say, you know, our parents definitely did. You know, our dad was this poet warrior with an amazing voice that was always singing out of key, but awesome voice and, you know, heart and passion. And our mom, beautiful voice, could play the piano. And, you know, we had an uncle, wonderful guitarist. So, you know, it's like way back. I mean, some of my earliest memories as a child was like my brother getting guitar lessons from him. He'd come over on Sundays and play a little classical guitar. So I feel like, yeah, there's the outside inspirations of musical artists, but you know, in an indirect way, you know, in a way other than supposed, no play on the word otherwise, you know, it's a family scenario. You know, our parents were our biggest investors, our biggest believers, like I'm sure many artists, but I mean, besides, again, artists that we like, I think our parents were probably like the biggest inspiration for us to keep going. I mean, when we come home drunk after Battle of the Band shows in Las Vegas, you know, and just hitting our heads against the wall to figure out how to get out of Vegas with our music, they were like, you're the best. You guys are the best. You guys can do it. Just keep going. Just keep going. You know, and that's, we got to go to the next level because of them.
Who do you think your biggest influences are now when you're writing records? Is there something you call into?
I mean, if I can take this one, Chad, for me right now, it's my two sons, my children, you know, so on our second album, Peace at All Costs, that one came out in 2014, just as my first son was born. And then our third album, Sleeping Lions, came out right as my second son was born in 2017. And again, so now it's I've evolved from that mindset of that self-serving mindset of, dude, I'm gonna be famous and rich and I'm gonna fucking, you know, I'm gonna be that guy we were talking about on MTV Cribs. Now it's turned into like, well, dude, this is all I really know how to do somewhat well enough to where other people, other human beings across the planet can relate with it. And this is all I know how to do. And I'm doing it now because of them, you know, like it's my, so for me, like my right now in this moment, in this sphere that the four of us are in, my two sons are, have been for the past 8 years and still currently are my biggest influence as to why I'm trying to write the best song that I can possibly write with my brother. Like, it doesn't have to be the greatest song you ever fucking heard, but if this is the best that I can put out, then I know that my children will hear that as long as the internet and music exists. It'll be there for them long after I'm gone.
It's very cool. Yeah, it's like the version of you know, when you're talking about Cribs, I see the idea is I want to be that guy. And now you're able to prospectively say, I want to be this guy for these, yeah, these people. And
for,
yeah,
man, that's for the, these that's, guys.
Yeah, that's the soul. You know, that's great. I love that. Yeah.
Ryan, you made a good point about your parents being an influence. I can't imagine my life without my parents' record collection.
Same.
You know, as a kid, what the hell is a Letterman? I don't know. I'm going to pull it out. Oh, it's doo-wop. Or I didn't know what doo-wop was. I just saw it's just four guys crooning. Yeah. What's this Seven Brides for Seven Brothers? It's a musical. I'm like, but it's music, right? It's like building your interest.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Oh my God, you're going back, Justin Press. What's
dude,
going on,
come man? On, brother, man. Come on. I'm so, old so school.
Justin, what is your parents' record collection, what is the one, you know, vinyl that you remember that you were really like, okay, this is kind of sort of changing my life?
Well, my parents weren't of the rock thing, which is funny though, because I was actually named after the lead singer from Moody Blues.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. Justin Haywood.
Right. Yeah.
Because when I was born, that album just came out, but it was a big thing. My mom's English, big. It was a big album in England. So that's the only thing.
Sorry, it's in White Satin.
One more time.
I just said Knights in White Satin.
Yeah. Sorry. But as far as growing up, man, I tell you what, the album that blew my mind that they even had was something called Christmas with Bonanza. Remember that show Bonanza?
Yeah, I do. I don't think my brother does.
I heard of it. Yeah.
It's an old Western dude from like the late 60s. And they just happened to have a Christmas album with like Lorne Greene singing like We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Lorne fucking Greene singing. It's just crazy. So
and,
that
and
album
that's
stuck
the
out.
Record that was like
well, that stuck out as far as like what a weird album to have, but it had to probably be anything. It had to be one of the Sinatra or the Sammy Davis records, because there was a little bit more going on there. But my parents, like probably yours, is like, oh, Alice Cooper, Kiss. Yeah. We don't like that music, but we get it. It's not our thing, but we get it.
Right.
Well, guys, picture this. Let me just paint a quick picture. Like growing up. You know, every Friday night, okay, our dad, little Irishman, pit bull, monster poet, crazy man, would literally, it was Friday night was Bob Marley and the Wailers, like cranked. And mom was making food for us, barbecuing, you know, Las Vegas, summer nights, summer evenings in Vegas are special when it cools down. And, you know, we had the pool. And, you know, our dad would crank Bob Marley. And then he would work out, you know, we would do martial arts or, you know, just strength, like push-ups and squats and wrestling,
stretching
and just all the, like very masculine, like very, you know, like guy, you know,
toxic masculinity, bro. Be careful, dude.
In some states, but
that is welcome here. We welcome that here.
Yeah. So, you know, that was kind of, you know, to get toward like how it was inspiring. You know, we're listening, you know, the soul rebel of soul rebels, Bob Marley, singing these songs of freedom and songs that you can sing and dance to and that just stick with you that are timeless while drinking booze and lifting weights. Not that we were drinking the booze, but that was like how we it was just like in our consciousness, like our musical consciousness. So when my brother decided like, hey, I want to start a rock band, I'm watching MTV Cribs and you know, this shit is fucking cool. And like, let me play guitar and let me write some songs. And that's kind of how our sound, it's come from that, you know. And we're a very rebellious band, but we want to have the chorus that everybody sings that hits you in the heart. But mm-hmm. then, you know, we got distortion guitars and, you know, as soon as I plugged in and got my Boss distortion pedal going or my Line 6, we became a heart. We became an aggressive rock band, you know, but we've always been inspired by those timeless songs and those anthems. And so that's kind of just to rewind a little bit from Chad, you know, and the inspiration. But yeah, what would we be without our parents' collection, the music collection, you know?
Yeah. Hey guys, we have some great stuff going on. There's one thing that's come across our feed here from Shiprockers, and we have a Shiprocker, Debbie. She's going in on March 17th for breast surgery. So we're all going to give just her a shout out right now. So Debbie, best of success in that. We love you, darling. And we want to see you in 2023 feeling the best you've ever felt.
100%.
Stay strong, Deb. You got this, girl. You got
it, absolutely. Debbie. Absolutely. So real quick, let's pivot. I was speaking of wellness. Let's talk about Life by Music, Ryan. That's you know, the charitable music education thing. Can you please tell the folks out there what it's about?
Yeah, 100%, man. Life by Music started off, you know, from our trials and tribulations as rock and roll artists, and it was like, hey, Life by Music, baby. Like, we're gonna make it happen. Life by Music. Hashtagging Life by Music. Life by Music. And you know, after a couple of years, it was like, man. Once we were like in the scene, signed recording artists, you know, top 15 radio singles, is like, there's something more to this. There's how do we create like a movement, or how do we shine light on the positive aspects of music? Cause yeah, rock and roll is awesome and debaucherous and wild. And the music industry is helpful, but it also sucks and is horrible and really crushes some beautiful souls unrelentlessly. And so it's like, how do we come up with something good, like that nobody can touch, nobody can hurt, and we can just focus on the music. And you know, I had the chance to go to a great music school in Las Vegas called the Las Vegas Academy of Performing Arts, and I shouldn't have even been accepted, but it was the first year that they were taking guitar majors, and I got in. And it changed my guitar playing, like my whole life of being able to go as a guitar major and study 2 hours every day for 4 years. It changed my life. So it's like, how do we do that? How do we get that happening for other people too? So we created a nonprofit organization. Life by Music went from a hashtag and it became a 501c3 nonprofit. And so in the last, you know, 3 years, we've partnered with Gibson Gives, and Gibson's been tremendous in helping our initiative and help fulfill our outreach. We get instruments and we take them to schools, and we pretty much teach kids. You know, we teach kids, and we introduce music to really young kids, and then we'll take guitars and we'll give them to, you know, preteens. And then teenagers, we sit down with them and we play songs with them and try and teach them how to, you know, try and give, hey, look, we might not be the MTV stars or Grammy award winning yet or if ever, but you can chase your dream and you can do it. You know, music is an outlet. You can use it no matter what day it is, no matter how you feel. So we've just made it official, and we run a really, really great organization right now called Life by Music.
You know, it's awesome. It's fantastic because, I mean, obviously we're trying to save the arts because those programs are getting canceled left and right. That's for whatever reason. I can't imagine taking away creativity from the hands of children.
Yeah,
but programs like that are what's going to have it, because not every kid can afford Berkeley or even get into Berkeley or MI or any of those things. So having these kind of like even kind of regional outreach, and even the schools are rock. Yeah, I mean, they're fantastic areas.
There's a lot of kids who can't even afford to get like a basic
guitar. Right. I'm not even. Yeah. You know? I'm thinking Berkeley, big time. I'm not even. Yeah. Thinking about drumsticks or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. You know, so like my brother had this epiphany, and it, you know, like I sit back and I watch what he does, and I'm like blown away and humbled. And I'm just like, again, because I have children who are, you know, just by the nature of being a part of the family, they're musically inclined, so to speak. They're interested in it. And I'm like, well, imagine how many other kids, if they just had the exposure to it, like just even the slightest exposure to it, what they would dream of doing or what they could create, you know? And it's like to be able to like through Gibson and to be able to like give these kids instruments that they may never be able to afford, you know, it puts things in perspective, you know, of to how lucky we are, you know.
And Ryan, how can people reach out to you guys? Is there a website? I know you got the Instagram and Facebook, but is there a website they can go to and they can either donate or find a way to get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is lifebymusic.org. And you can reach us at connect.lifebymusic@gmail.com if you want to reach out personally. Hit us up, you know, reach out to my Facebook page. We get enough, you know, people reaching out that want to help, and we usually find ways to connect the dots. And, you know, like you were saying, Justin, the programs are just getting annihilated, and it's absurd. You know, it really is absurd.
I mean, American culture is tied to music, starting with jazz and moving onward, you know, blues, jazz. I mean, it's intrinsic to who we are. Yeah. So it's important to keep these programs going. Real quick, we always like to talk about your Shiprock experience. Obviously, you guys have been with us several times. But we had a question. Adrian, a lot of people want to know, how do your kids feel about Shiprock?
That was January.
Yeah.
And they are still talking about it, man. They are still talking about it.
There we go.
We're still finding little trinkets and bracelets that Shiprockers gave them, you know? Like, and we talk about the rock, like we were calling it the rock and roll pirate ship, you know, like they still call the Shiprock the rock and roll pirate ship. Like we literally were talking about it today, Justin, like we literally were talking about being on the boat today. And I can't tell you guys, I have to give props to where props are due. Rob Rivera from Nonpoint. Okay. It was our first Shiprock that we did. And my first born son had just been born. And I brought my wife and we left the baby with my mom and me, my brother's mom. And, we went on Shiprock and Rob was there with his kids. And I was like, bro, you can bring your kids on this shit? And he's like, fuck yeah, you can bring your kids, man. Like, you just tell them you bring your kids and you could bring your fucking kids home. And I was like, oh shit. I just didn't put two and two together. And so being able, so first off, it was my boy's first cruise ever. And it was as our, you know, my wife and I have been on some cruises. She has been on some cruises in her past. I've been on cruises in my past. But it was our, not only was it our son's first cruise ever, but it was also our first cruise ever as a family unit. And it was, dude, I literally, like I told Al McManus, I was like, dude, it's all downhill from here, dude. I'm good, bro. Like
we ruined you.
You guys, I'm done, bro. Like,
you know what's good, man? Because guess what? At some point, all four of us, we're all gonna be too old for this, and the new breed's gonna have to come on and run this shit, right? Yeah. You know, can't do it forever. But we so that's great to hear. Yeah, there we go. Well, listen, we want to end this Making Waves episode with obviously I already blew who asked the question, but Chad, could you please tell us what our dear friends and scary kids wanted to ask these gentlemen?
Yeah. So what we do is every episode we'll ask the guest a question from the last episode's guest that they didn't know who you were. They had no idea who our next guest was. They're just asking a, you know, like an esoteric question of sorts. And then you
Shiprock related or just a question?
No, it's just a question.
It could be anything. Sometimes it's about music, about being a band. Sometimes it's not. And then vice versa, I'm sorry. And then carrying that torch on, you guys will ask a question for next week's guest, but you won't know who that is. So actually you didn't give anything away, Justin. Last week we had Scary Kids on. they chose to ask the question of, what is your toughest road moment? And that made you ask, why am I doing this? And part two of that, do you have a band that was the toughest band to play in front of? Meaning that, like, you guys played and then directly after that was going to be this band that was just, you know, like some, they used a Glassjaw. They did the show where they played with Glassjaw, and Glassjaw, they were like not into doing that because Glassjaw's crowd was so like not into anybody else besides Glassjaw. So to reiterate that, what's one of the toughest road moments that made you ask, why am I doing this? And then second parter is, do you have a band that you were fearful of playing, playing of in front of? Okay. Yeah.
Can I go first?
Okay. Sure, Adrian.
So my toughest road moment is, and it's actually, if I can maybe sort of like paraphrase or reword the question, it's actually like a pre-road moment.
Okay. That, even better.
And I Rick DeJesus from Adelita's Away told me this. He was like, wait till your kids start saying to you, daddy, don't go, don't leave. So every time I leave for the road,
yeah,
the hardest thing for me is when one of my sons is saying to me, daddy, don't go, or one of them is crying when I'm getting dropped off at the airport. So that's the toughest road moment for me personally. As far as opening for a band that we never wanted to open for, there is no band that we are afraid to ever open for, ever.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer too. Actually,
that's great. Do you have a Ryan? Do you have a why am I fucking doing this?
Moment. You know, not necessarily like a why am I doing this, because I think I ask myself that question with a lot of things all the time. You know, it's just like, and I quickly,
why am I buying this produce?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, I
why think, am I watching this Netflix show right now?
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, still want to, are you still hours? Watching?
Yeah.
Existential.
Because then I have a tendency of like snapping back into it, like after the initial thought. But I do remember one time when we were driving in the bandwagon and we were in the Appalachian Mountains, and there was like black ice on the mountain coming down the mountain. And I was driving, and I remember, because it was my shift to drive, and I told my brother, I was like, dude, you got it. Like, I know you're supposed to go to sleep, but like, come sit up front, dude. Like, just come sit up front, man. Like, this shit is scary. Okay, bandwagons are like, dude, like in the front of it, you know, it's like you got a big rig, baby, that you're rocking. And I had never experienced black ice. We heard that there was going, we were coming down the mountain, and and then like the feeling of the tires just losing it, because we were on black ice. And so that moment, there was probably it felt like 30 seconds. It was probably like
like 3 seconds.
I feel like it was like 5 seconds of just like, holy, like when we hit the black ice in the bandwagon going, you know, 60, 70 miles per hour.
With a trailer.
The trailer is the problem.
It was the middle of the night and all the guys are sleeping. And it's just like, it was just like, okay, we're going down this thing. And as I guess I take it back. I was like, why are we doing this? Yeah. You know, but then
dumbest
like,
fucking shit I've done.
Like, because I've never felt like where the whole huge vehicle just moves and you're not moving, and it's just going, and it's on the
ice. You have no control.
In that 10, can I ask you, in that 10 seconds, are you going, I think I'm going to go back to school?
Oh man.
I remember I was sitting up front. I was like, I think I'm just going to go back to sleep, bro.
Yeah. What's to be is to be.
Well, if I die, it's his fault. So,
yeah. So real quick, guys, before we cut you loose so you can get back to your families and your evenings, what are your future plans for, if not the rest of the year, at least the next 6 months?
We have a new album. Yeah. New album. We're going to have new music. We're going to drop some singles here real soon. We have our Life by Music. We do this thing called the Rock and Run. And it's last year was the first year. And this year we're
fucking doing awesome. It was amazing last year, dude.
It was super cool. We got the community involved here out in Las Vegas and pulled in some big sponsors and we raised a bunch of funds. So the thing is 5K in the morning, we run at a big park out here called Sunset Park. And then in the evening we celebrate and otherwise plays our hometown. So May 14th. And this year we're actually May 14th is the 5K and the evening concert. And then the next day on Sunday, we're going to do a golf tournament. So it's a wild weekend and we're raising funds to get more instruments to those in need. Yeah. So
there we go. Al McManus can't do the run, but he can certainly do the 18 holes.
But he didn't have his shirt off watching.
You guys come out, please. Shiprock, come out, come be a part of it. That would be amazing.
So, okay, May 14th, guys, check that out.
And obviously, we got Blue Ridge. We got Blue Ridge Festival in September.
That's right. You have some live dates. There you go. Yeah. You got Blue Ridge.
Blue Ridge, yeah.
Rockfest. Yes, Rockfest. We're playing Rockfest.
Oh, Rockfest. We're doing Rock. Oh, that's right. Rockfest.
Up in Cadeau, up in Wisconsin. It's okay. Some nice middle of the country rock and roll. Very good.
So, new music.
That's on www. I just wrote it down.
Otherwisemusic.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
There
you go.
Awesome. Otherwise banner music. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Otherwisemusic.com.
We're dropping a 10-year anniversary merch line to True Love Never Dies, which is our album that has I Don't Apologize, Full Circle, Soldiers, our breakout record. This is the 10-year anniversary of that record. So we're dropping a merch drop soon. So whoever's watching, otherwisemusic.com, you guys can get
that
there.
Merch, man.
Gas those are you are busy gentlemen. So good luck and best success to all that stuff.
Thank you.
This is fucking great. Thanks for spending time with the guys. A lot of fun.
Man, thank you guys.
We wish you nothing but success. Absolutely. And
entertainment.
We got one more piece of business before we let you go. Wow. Chad, can you get a question for these gentlemen for next week's guest? Who we already know, who we already aware of. Yes,
we are. You are.
Are you ready? Have you guys already had this question asked?
Absolutely no.
Who is the biggest douchebag you've ever played with besides?
And fucking-tastic.
Besides what?
No, I'm just kidding.
Besides yourself.
Besides
the guys and otherwise. No, honestly, straight up, dude, who's the biggest douchebag you ever played with?
Got it.
And
knowing this guy, he will probably answer that directly and not go, well, everyone's cool. Yeah. That's
awesome. No, well, ask him too if 9/11 was an inside job.
Provocative. Inside
provocative.
And
both
and
questions should be
that question.
Yes. Hey, dude, Chad, you gave us a two-part question.
I'm in.
So yeah, absolutely.
And
I love
was 9/11 an inside job?
Right. Yeah, 9/11. I forgot
my blackjack trophy award for winning the blackjack tournament on the boat.
Oh, that's right. He won the blackjack tournament on the boat today. This year. That's right.
Jesus Christ. Well, Adrian, Ryan, thank you for spending your last hour with us. These two douchebags, we really appreciate it. And absolutely everyone out there who follows us on Facebook and asks great questions, thank you as well. Remember, guys, this episode in full will drop this coming Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time, wherever you stream podcasts and on the Ask For YouTube channel. And I'd be remiss not to mention our show producer, Al McManus, our show engineer, Jen Zito, and our show coordinator, Heather Smith, and, of course, the captain, Alan Koenig.
Drum rolls.
We got to invest in that. Anyway, guys, appreciate it. Everyone out there, be well. Have a great weekend.
This is Chris DeMakes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Chris DeMakes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today, such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.